episode, The New Pope, India and Pakistan ceasefire, China-US tariffs, return of the lost Oz dog, and Blobfish of the Year.
Over here!
Hey, listen up!
New newsy!
Newsy-paloozy!
Hello and welcome to Newsy-paloozy, the news pool for curious kids and adults. This is your one-stop shop for the most interesting and important news happening all around the world. I am Leela Shiv Shankar Prickett, and...
Sorry, I'm jumping in there, and I am Lindy Prickett.
Otherwise known as my mama. This episode, we give you the dope on the Pope with special reports from both Rome and Chicago, where the world's first U.S. pontiff comes from. India and Pakistan ceasefire after 4 days of an aerial dogfight, which is not at all as cute as it sounds. China and the US agree on some new, cheaper tariffs. The Australian dog lost on Kangaroo Island is trapped and found. Confused? Don't worry, we'll tell you all about it. And we'll also tell you why those kooky kiwis love the ugly blobfish. Okay then, let's dive on in. First up, it's
The big news story
of the week.
Well, as you heard in our last-to-last episode, Pope Francis passed away and the world was waiting for a new leader of the Catholic Church to be elected.
Yep. Remember it was all about the color of the smoke coming out of a chimney in St. Peter's Square in Rome?
Or, more precisely, the Vatican City, which is like the Catholic HQ or headquarters. Mm-hmm. Technically not Rome, but the smallest sovereign or independent country in the world. Did you know?
No, actually, I didn't know that. But the Vatican is in the middle of Rome, right?
Yep, exactly. It's a tiny sovereign state in the middle of the city of Rome, which is the capital of the country of Italy.
We're just bursting with fab facts here, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Okay, so back to the news. You've probably also heard that indeed the church leaders have made their selection.
And it's an American pope from Chicago, the first pope from the USA. Go Pope Leo.
So we'll tell you more about Leo with a special report from his hometown of Chicago shortly. But first, let's cut across to Ananya Kasman, our Rome correspondent, who has the details on how the pope was elected.
Take it away, Ananya.
Thanks, Leela. As I mentioned before, it's pretty old-fashioned, seriously low-tech, the way the new pope is chosen. If you remember, it all starts with a super-secret gathering of 133 cardinals inside the beautiful Sistine Chapel. No phones, no outside contact, just prayer, discussion, and voting. And no, they don't vote with a fancy app, but on writing down their choice on a piece of paper. If they fail to agree, they burn those pieces in a chimney where black smoke can be seen by crowds gathering and praying in St. Peter's Square. In the past, this has sometimes taken days and days of voting and waiting. Once in the 13th century, it took almost 3 years for the cardinals to agree. But these days, the cardinals are more decisive, as in they decide fast, and it just took 4 rounds of voting over 2 days. Then the cardinals put special chemicals in the fire to make the smoke turn white, signaling to the world Habemus Papam, which is Latin for we have a pope. Of course, then everyone was wondering, who is the new pope? An hour later, Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost from Chicago stepped out onto the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica as the new pope, Leo XIV. In Rome, I'm Ananya Kasman reporting for Newsy Paloozy.
Wow, talk about a historical moment. What a cool time to be in Rome, Ananya. Thanks for that report.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Thanks so much, Ananya. Now, the big question is...
Who is this cardinal, which is the word for a high-level priest, who's become the first pope in history to have been born in the U.S.?
Well, believe it or not, he's an American who studied math at college before getting his doctorate in canon law.
He studied law?
Well, kind of. Canon law means law of the church, especially the Roman Catholic Church, as established by previous popes.
Sounds appropriate.
I know, right? And if that didn't tell you how smart he is, guess how many languages he speaks?
Three? Four?
Well, close. Five, if you please. English, Spanish, Italian, French, and Portuguese.
Useful for communicating with Catholics all around the world.
Indeed. But he's said to be pretty down to earth, you know, like a normal guy who likes watching movies and sports.
He's a sports fan?
Yeah, baseball apparently. But that's maybe more to do with his hometown roots of Chicago.
Oh, I bet the people there are pretty pleased he's the new pope.
Oh yeah. In fact, we have a new newsie, Olive Caruso, from the Windy City, as Chicago is called, who's standing by to tell us more.
Thanks, guys. So yeah, Bob Prevost, aka Pope Leo XIV, was born here in Chi-Town on the south side. Me, I'm a Northsider, so in terms of baseball, I'm a Cubs fan. Southsiders like Pope Leo support the White Sox, but we're not holding that against him. People are proud, like really proud, that this is the city where he was born. Restaurants are naming sandwiches after him, and memes are flooding social media. One of my personal favorites? Da Pope. All you Chicagoans out there know what I mean. Anyway, with all this attention, he's probably planning a trip back to his hometown. I, for one, would love to see him grab a slice of our famous deep dish pizza. In Chicago, this is Olive Caruso for Newsy Paloozy.
Thanks, Olive, and welcome to the team.
All right, moving on now to some serious news closer to home. Listeners may remember in our last episode, we had some breaking news about the Indian Army targeting some camps in neighboring Pakistan, where it said terrorists were hiding out and training.
And what followed was the threat of war here. No lie, here in India and Pakistan, of course. It was seriously scary.
Yep, it was. And because, naturally, Pakistan retaliated, which is a fancy way of saying hit back,
they got into what is called a drone dogfight.
Well, actually, an aerial dogfight of drones and fighter jets for 4 days.
Why is it called a dogfight?
Well, it's a phrase that means a chaotic struggle at close range or in a small area, this time in the air. So like when planes or drones twist and turn and move aggressively, like dogs fighting.
You know, since we've been doing Newsy Paloozy, we've reported about the Syria war, Ukraine and Russia one, and then Israel and Palestine. Honestly, I never thought it was something that I'd be thinking about here at home.
Yeah, it got really pretty real there for a while.
Yes, there were siren drills all across the border states and blackouts in the border states and the ones a bit farther back, including Delhi, which we actually experienced firsthand. Although, thank goodness most of the drones and missiles sent over to India were intercepted. One, they say, was actually headed for Delhi.
Yeah, and if it was a bit scary for us, imagine how scary it was for those people on both sides who live near the border where the aerial dogfight was happening above.
So I know this recent conflict was sparked after that horrible terrorist attack in Kashmir last month. But like, why do the two countries hate each other so much? I mean, haven't India and Pakistan been at war 4 times already?
Yep, and in less than 100 years too.
But why?
The usual. It's simple, really. Territory, religion, power. But really nothing is that simple, or I don't know, maybe it is.
But what's the history? US President Trump said that the two countries have been fighting for 1,000 years, which is weird, as both countries are only 77 years old.
Yeah, the British ruled this subcontinent, or massive area, for a couple 100 years before both India and Pakistan became independent countries in 1947. But I suppose what Trump meant is that Hindus, which were mostly the native people on the subcontinent, have brushed up against the Muslims, who came to the area much later, for the last 1,000 years or so.
So it's the whole my way or the highway thing?
Well, yes. There are some people who believe and live and let live, and that society can have all different types of people. And there are others who want only their type or their way.
I think most people just want to get along.
I agree. Unfortunately, it's the intolerant fanatics who ruin it for everyone.
But it's made even scarier that both countries are nuclear armed, which means that they have nuclear weapons.
Yes, no one wants India and Pakistan to go to war. Thankfully, there is a ceasefire, and we are all just hoping it stays that way.
What's that? I'll tell you what, that's the halftime bell, which means it's time to hear what's making news around the rest of the world. hold on tight. It's
around the world in 80 seconds. Ooh, hold
tight! 2 million people in Gaza are on the brink of starvation as food trucks fail to deliver critical supplies. Humanitarian groups warn that 100 trucks alone can't reverse the impact of 11 weeks without food. Ukraine accuses Russia of trying to buy time to prolong their war. This comes despite the U.S. saying ceasefire talks are moving forward thanks to their help. Two baby orangutans are rescued after being found in a basket at a gas station in Thailand's capital, Bangkok. The smuggler was arrested and police are working to find out if the orangutans were born in Thailand or abroad. And sticking with bad things happening to animals, a cat in Costa Rica was being used to smuggle drugs into a prison. We're happy to say police discovered this plot, and the feline is now being looked after by authorities.
Well, thank you so much for that. Oh, you know what's coming, don't you, Newsies? That whippity-wobbity-zippity-zappity-rap. What's making headlines elsewhere in the world, Mama?
Anytime, Leela. I gotta say, I love that. And now, after revisiting our story about the new Pope and about the military operations between India and Pakistan, we've actually got two more stories to revisit. Two stories we've told you about in the past few weeks, in fact.
And those would be?
Well, one is about the trade war between China and the US.
And the second?
Oh, it's about that adorable wiener dog that went missing in Australia.
Ooh, great then. This calls for a top up.
Go on, give me a top up, please. It's top up time.
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 Now.
Yeah, now.
It's top up time.
So, first things first, the trade war between the US and China.
Which isn't an actual war, but more like the disagreement and kind of tension between the taxes that are placed on the traded products between the two countries.
Yep, it's officially, well, okay, if not over or on ice, then we'll just say it's cooled off, shall we say.
Oh, what happened? U.S. President Trump seemed really mad at China, as we discussed a few weeks ago in episode 195.
That's right. The U.S. had imposed massive taxes, called tariffs, on all Chinese imports.
First, 54%, and then up and up to 145%, which is crazy!
Yep, and China was just as crazy. They had imposed a tariff of 125% on U.S. goods going into their country. That's a lot of numbers, we know. Suffice to say, they were both mad at each other. But really, neither side wanted the chaos that was created from these crazy numbers and taxes.
So they agreed to just, like, stop imposing tariffs on each other?
Pretty much. Representatives recently from both sides met in Switzerland and agreed that the U.S. would drop its tariffs to 30% and China would drop its tariffs to 10. Well, for the next 90 days at least.
Wow, that's kind of simple somehow.
And yet, well, let's see how it turns out. Moving on to the adorable Oz dog story of Valerie.
Otherwise known as the hot dog story, as in Valerie, the wiener dog who got stranded on Australia's Kangaroo Island for more than a year.
Yep, Valerie went missing after escaping into the woods while on a camping trip. She was missing for 529 days, can you believe? And if you want the full story, then do have a listen to episode 195.
So, do we have good news then? I remember they decided to set up a trap for her, and well, did it work?
Well, it sure did!
Yay, that's fantastic! It's pretty remarkable that the little old sausage dog could survive in the wild for so long without, oh, I don't know, maybe being eaten? I mean, not a lot of people can resist a hot dog.
Very good. In fact, not only was she not eaten, clearly, but she actually put weight on out there in the wild. And here we were all thinking this domesticated dog would struggle on her own, but no,
Wow, I guess Kangaroo Island has, well, some good wildlife beyond the 65,000 kangaroos, which I'm sure Valerie was nice to.
I'm sure. And what a reunion it was when she was able to meet her humans again. Hot diggity dog.
Ah, you said it. So I guess Valerie recognized her humans right away?
Oh, she did indeed. And her owners say she's now readapting to a life of luxury and humans instead of all those kangaroos.
I hope her humans like hip-hop.
Why?
Well, you know, hanging out with all those kangaroos, she really must be into, you know, hip-hop music.
Hip hop. Very good. I like it. All right, now let's head over to the Lucky Dip Machine and see what it's got in store for us this week.
Step right up.
Have a go at the Lucky Dip Machine.
What's it going to be today, eh?
An oddball, no doubt.
An oddball, no doubt.
Wow, what an honor. Get this, Mama. The world's ugliest fish has just been voted the fish of the year in New Zealand. Here, look at a picture.
Oh, yes, I can see how that creature was voted ugliest fish of the year. Goodness, it looks like a swollen pile of flesh, like a pile of melted ice cream, or like, I don't know, I want to say globule.
Yes, all good descriptions. And for anyone who wants to see a pic, check out our transcript for the link.
Yeah, so those lovely New Zealanders care so much about conservation and making sure there's diverse marine and freshwater life that they created the Fish of the Year Award to make sure it gets attention. And boy, this year did it work. Well, anyway, I think we need to hand this over to our team in Wellington, New Zealand for more.
Yes, and it's another new newsie, Hazel Whisker, who's gonna fill us in on the, well, I'll let Hazel tell you. Welcome to the news pool, Hazel. Over to you.
Thanks, guys. So yeah, New Zealand's Fish of the Year for 2025 is, drumroll please, the blobfish. Voted ugliest fish in 2013, the blobfish looks like, well, a blob. They're primarily greyish to whitish pink, and they have big black eyes and loose flabby skin. Unlike other fish, they don't have scales or a full skeleton, only a few bones and muscles, hence the blob type look. And here's a fun fact about the blobfish, they actually look like a normal fish under the water. Crazy, right? They rely on water pressure to keep their shape, and they turn more pink and blobby when they're pulled out the water. And because they're lazy, they eat crustaceans and anemones or whatever flows into their mouths. Scientists say it's hard to study these fish because they live in what's called the midnight zone, a deep ocean layer where the sun can't penetrate, in the Indian, Atlantic, and Pacific Oceans. For now, there are only 420 blobfish in the whole world, but we're proudly protecting all the blobbies out there with our conservation efforts here in New Zealand and Australia, so we can all agree that blobfish are blobby by name and blobby by nature. This is Hazel Whisker reporting from Wellington, New Zealand for Newsy Paloozy.
Thanks so much, Hazel. Welcome to the NP team. And I gotta say, I'm glad blobfish are getting the respect they deserve.
You're right. These guys are somehow cuter in water. I guess you could say in this case, beauty is in the fish eye of the beholder.
And it's time to wrap up the podcast with
the top five facts heard today.
Fab fact number one.
The Catholic Church has a new pope who is elected by how many cardinals? 133.
Fab fact number two.
And this election takes place in the headquarters of the Catholic Church, which is actually in the smallest sovereign or independent country in the world, which is called what? Vatican City.
Fab fact number three.
The new Pope, Leo XIV, who was called Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, is the first from the U.S. He studied mathematics and canon law. What is canon law? The law of the Church, especially the Roman Catholic Church, as established by previous popes.
Fab fact number 4.
India and Pakistan are in a ceasefire after exchanging fire across their borders. When did the two countries, which used to be ruled by the British, become independent nations? 1947.
Fab fact number 5.
Once called the world's ugliest fish, New Zealand now names the blobfish as fish of the year. Why is it hard to study these fish? They live deep in the ocean's midnight zone. And don't forget, if you want to test yourself later on, or hey, you're a teacher and you've got a class listening to this, then do go to the Lucky Dip page of our website, newsypoolloozy.com. That's like a swimming pool, obviously. So that's POOLOOZI. And take this quiz online in your own time.
And that almost brings us to the end of this episode of Newsypoolloozy. But first,
we would like to thank the lovely Jyoti Chuan for her production help and Julie Noche for helping write and edit this episode.
Thank you, guys! We're so cheesy.
We are cheesy, but we love it.
If you enjoyed this dip in the coolest pool of news and information, then hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Alexa, or wherever you get your podcasts.
While you're at it, why don't you give us a good rating? Or better still, leave us a review. Go on, we'll read it out loud if you do.
Alrighty then, see you next week in the happy, splashy, giant Newsypoolloozy.